I'm Pastor Tim, and welcome to The Two Greatest. This is episode 1471. Can I do that, or is it sin? Can I mow my lawn on Sunday? Can I go to a gay wedding? Bible scholar and preacher Alistair Begg got in big trouble because his answer to that question differed from other Christians. Can I go to a bar and drink? Can I go to a bar if I don't drink? The answers to those questions and the questions that Begg answers are legions. You and I have our own battles with what is right and wrong. Those types of questions, however, aren't new. In fact, the very first Christians dealt with them too. Meat was sacrificed to idols, and then the leftover meat was sold in the market. They were asking, can I buy a burger left over from idol meat? Can I go to a restaurant that serves it even though I'm not worshiping the idol, I'm just having lunch? The questions of can I or is it a sin are not new. The specifics change, but not the struggle. So let's linger longer. This podcast is about the two great commandments, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors ourselves. Here we ask the question, what would it look like for Jesus to live his life of love through us? And that gets really muddy, really cloudy, when it comes to very specific things. We don't deal with the question of eating meat left over from idols. We don't have prime rib from the local temple down the street. But we have to focus on the bigger question of what does total allegiance to God look like, and what is compromise in my own life? For example, what about head coverings for women? Yes or no? Most Christians today say no, not required. But for most of church history, the answer was yes. So are head coverings mandatory for all cultures and all times, and all women who are uncovered are not passing go but going straight to hell? Or is it only mandatory in cultures where it's still the custom? In Paul's day, people covered their heads for lots of reasons. Shame, grief, fear, but that was both genders. Romans, unlike the Greeks, covered their heads for worship, but again, it was both genders. But a woman's hair was considered the focus of male lust. There's the issue. So married women were to cover their heads, and unmarried girls, they could keep their heads uncovered because they were trying to attract potential husbands. Later, a woman would cover her whole face. And no, the Muslims didn't start that custom. It predates them. To not wear the head coverings was considered a deliberate attempt to be seductive. It'd be kind of like a woman today walking into church with a bikini on. Be a bit distracting for worship unless you're somewhere on the beach in California doing worship. Rich women didn't want to cover their heads because they wanted to show off their hairstyle. That was the hairstyle that was all the rage in Rome. But the poor women took that to be an attempt at seduction. The problem was the church met in homes, usually the homes of the rich women. So why would the wealthy women, who are only in their own homes, have to cover their own heads? It became a classic class distinction, a class conflict, and Paul urges them to give up their rights for the sake of unity. Here's the great question. What rights have you given up for the good or the unity of the whole church? Let's pray. Father, we ask ourselves questions all the time. Can I do this or is it sin? And it's not in a legalistic sense. It's simply, we want to please you. We don't want to make other people stumble. But we also don't want to live a legalistic life when we're free in Christ. Lord, help us to walk that path well, to navigate those waters that are turbulent all around us because others don't necessarily agree. Most of all, Lord, help us to show our true allegiance to you in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for episode 1472. In the meantime, as we study Scripture, we have to discern transcultural principles, that is, principles for all times and all cultures and all places, with specific cultural expectations. It's not enough to just say, we just need to do what the Bible says. Okay, then how many of you sent an offering to the Church of Jerusalem last week? And if you didn't do that, you're disobeying a direct command of Scripture, because that's what Paul says to do in 1 Corinthians 16, 1-3. Now we have to take into account the Bible background and culture as we seek to faithfully answer the question, can I do that, or is it sin?